strength I don't know how to play. And I don't want to anyway. Need to delete this game and go back to another save. But my hard drive sparked. Zero charisma, zero luck. I don't have any skills or the XP to fix my.
We know we should talk about it.
Hello and welcome to GamerCore something or other. I actually don't. This is like an internal. We don't know exactly. We're trying to do something a little bit experimental here, and I think that'll it'll be good to maybe clear some stuff up and address some stuff with the audience. First things first is
I'm Lewis. And I was hoodwinked. I was fucking hoodwinked.
What is this? Unsere culpa, like with
fool me once, shame on you.
With a name like
fool me twice, I can't give. It was written like she was black.
With a name like
she was a woman of color,
cookie,
not a woman of color, less
cookie
Asian.
Hyponia, and they kept calling her person of color. We just assumed that she was black. Which
they didn't include a picture of her
in the article. That's right.
There was a conspiracy to make it seem like this woman was black, because no one gives a fuck what Asian women think in the video game industry.
Well, they don't think what black women think either.
No, they do. But even like shit libs don't care about Asian women. They don't.
Yeah.
They think it's funny when blacks beat them
was
up.
Is she full Asian, or she look like she might be?
She looked 100% gook. Look at her. Half what? Half Japanese, half Chinese. What the fuck are you talking about? Don't know where the name came from. Sure.
What the fuck is the name?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely no idea. But like,
thanks to the, I forget who it was on post who sent the, maybe an E, I don't remember.
All Asian girls, when they get a little chubby, look like that. Slightly overweight Asian
At
girl.
First, I was like, I thought it was some kind of like a meme or a joke or something. I didn't realize the reply was like Cookie Hyponia with this picture of this like Asian broad. I'm like,
no.
I don't get the joke.
No. She, like, I assume no. She had fucking dreadlocks.
Yeah. Anyway,
I thought it was a not my job, and actually, it's a.
It doesn't. I don't think it really affects any.
No, it doesn't.
It makes it makes our takes funnier. I think is the main.
No,
result.
But like, I think it's funny that there is. You can't read that article and not come away with there's a conspiracy.
It's deliberate
to pretend.
And
this
so
was
the
black.
The question is sort of like why and to what end and
to
know.
Make her, because if it was like. Also, like, her being in a diversity doesn't make any fucking sense, because she's an Asian woman. Like,
yeah, they're not diverse.
Yeah, they literally get like discriminated.
Everybody knows
shit.
That. Everybody knows that.
So she's just like doing it to grift off, which is fine. Hey, if you can grift off the diversity bit,
yeah, no,
do it.
I'm not saying like, she shouldn't do that. I'm just like,
but like she's clearly like it's not ideological. She just has a axe to grind. It's not like no one's like being racisms to her because she's an Asian woman in a video. Oh. I was an Asian woman at a video game developer, and people didn't respond. Fuck you. It's like, that's a ratio you can only dream of in terms of like
right.
Male attention and attractive. Like, there's no way. I can see why they siloed the writers off. If there's all these Asian women in the writers room, how are they getting work done if these guys are just walking around the fucking, studio?
Yeah. Raul appreciates this episode.
No, but seriously, like,
yeah, no, I hear you, and the whole thing is just kind of like an already ridiculous story became that much more ridiculous when it was revealed that Cookie Hyponia was not a negress.
Egg roll Hyponia,
egg roll, fortune cookie Hyponia. Fortune cookie. That's my contribution. Okay, so that out of the way,
and I'm so we're deeply sorry. We do these apologies. We'll look at ourselves. We'll try to be better. We're doing a lot of self criticism,
self critique.
Yeah. What's the shitty word?
I think that's what they call it. I don't know. Self criticism, maybe that's like the Maoist thing. Anyway,
we're working on ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank God.
We'll never again erase Asian women again. in our aggressive efforts to highlight the contributions of women of color, we have accidentally misrepresented the.
All right, that's enough. That's enough. You're making me like feel physically ill. So okay, thing number two was So we have, so I guess in it's I'm sure we're not alone in this, and I've seen, you know, other people have things that seem like they may be related. If you have any KYC crypto accounts, you are well aware that they are now doubling down on confirming any kind of financial information, which means for everybody's security that we will be transitioning off of any Stripe or anything like that. So if you are a subscriber to the show, we do have a couple. We thank you very much. If you are a subscriber to the show, please cancel your subscription, because any money that you give now is not going to make it to us. So yeah,
just, we told them to fuck off.
We're not going to comply with that, and that, and there's no reason for us to.
Yeah. Also, like, they want your ID. How am I going to give us your ID? It says like Dharma King. What the fuck do you want us to, like?
Yeah. Well, that's the issue, right? So
like, even if we were to like dox ourselves to these, like, the company we host with, I don't probably need the name so they don't get pressured to delete us. But
right,
the hosting company is kind of very shitlibby.
Right.
I don't want to give them our like actual
information. There's absolutely no reason to give them that information. And like, as is Stripe, right?
And so, also we can't, because it says Dharma Raj on that shit. So like, I don't know what you want me to do.
So we are going, we haven't done it yet, because we're going to, if you would like to contribute to the show, which we always appreciate, we will be setting up some wallets just for that. And we'll let you know more about that once
I will
that's
say
done.
We probably shouldn't post them. This is just, we're discussing now, but like, probably should have like an email address, and we can talk to you about it. Like, I don't know if we can do a public facing wallet, because I don't like, if, because KYC is getting worse.
Yeah, that's a good
if
point.
Someone sends our wallet that we publicly post Bitcoin from their Coinbase, they probably didn't fucking show it.
I mean, that's like, that's further down the road, but yeah
we'll figure something out.
It's true that we don't want a public
short term stop your
Stripe. The immediate thing is to please, we really really appreciate all the contributions. Like, it's means a lot to us, but you know, as I said, any money that you send from this point on is not going to make it into our wallet, so there's no reason for you to do that, and we will figure something out on the crypto side at some point, and
maybe XMR,
whatever, like, yeah, but good luck cash, whatever, we'll discuss it. Yeah, we'll discuss it. That makes a lot of sense, right?
I could use like library coins, I'm sure. I don't know.
That was the other thing I wanted to say. This wasn't, but it was while we're kind of doing a news roundup, and we're just addressing you, you know, kind of a meta level. So I have been considering, we'll see. But we may up our presence on Odyssey, and that potentially could even include some like Let's Play or game streaming stuff. I'll have to, obviously this is all very time, you know, intensive and would require some effort, but that I think is something that would be cool. I also I'm in touch with some anyway, we'll see. So there's stuff coming down the road, and ways to support us will be forthcoming. Yeah, you can always give to we have the NIGR channel on Odyssey, and then we'll figure out other stuff. Okay, and what was it? What else? I think that's all for on our end. Was there
housekeeping?
Some...
I'm trying to think. If it's important, I'll remember.
Yeah,
but oh yeah, we promised an NFT episode was recorded. cluster.
Yeah, just that we want to do and the NFT episode. I think there's a lot, something about like, yeah, it's still, we're still going to do one. It's just, it'll take a little while longer.
That's pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So
Antelope Hill has polo shirts now, or rugby shirts now. So purchase those.
Yeah. I already ordered mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got mine early.
Nice.
They're really real nice.
Cool.
Yeah, so do that. It's a good. I wish they could have came out before Christmas, but you know.
Hey, you know, supply chain crisis. Et
yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, off air. I have a story for you about that.
I'll look forward to hearing it. Anyway, yeah, and then I guess some of the what was it? The wheels. Was there other?
There's some news. There's some.
Yeah,
other.
What news did you want to discuss?
There was this really bizarre article in Bloomberg. Also a Twitter thread where Bloomberg is like not a real news company at a certain point. They like it's
yeah,
they,
sure.
They reprint press releases from yeah. Whoever, and Sony paid for one to imply that so the Horizon Zero Dawn sequel was like the first game to have a female protagonist that wasn't like I don't know, like a tit monster, which is just like not only like patently untrue, and I don't care about the lib, but Tomb Raider and Samus, and like it's just like a such a bizarre and like tone deaf thing where it's like, and it's this really badly written like, and there's hope for the future because Sony made this game where it's a woman who's not like who's like attractive in a kind of a slightly different way, and is it's cold, she's wearing a jacket, like that's like it's really bizarre, and it caused, of course, a lot of consternation. But also one thing I wanted to bring up that's very important to us is we brought up on the episode John Madden died.
Yes, that's right. Press we kind big of, F,
kind
big
of
F.
I kind of feel somewhat guilty about joking about how he's like
so old,
effectively dead at this point, and like he, I mean, and he was like outside, in the last 10 years, I'd seen him on TV once in a very controlled like media, like he, I think he had like probably once seen a couple 10 years ago, and finally
makes sense. They said he died unexpectedly, but he was 85. I mean, how no, but like also he hadn't,
like they took him off of TV.
Oh yeah, no, like, he hasn't been on in like 10 years.
Yeah, I've seen him on one like hyper controlled pre taped thing, and you could just tell it was you know. So sorry about that, guys.
That's on us.
That's on us, and you know, I mean, long full life, whatever.
Oh yeah, life well lived. I mean, and, you know, he lives on through the games. And
how
stuff.
Many people are a player, a Hall of Fame coach, and right. then the top broadcaster? That you know. Yeah, it's. It's, you know, like I said, and before I was trying to explain to my little brother, like, who, my mom was like, who cares? And my brother's like, yeah, that's dumb, because he's there, like, she's, you know, a chicken, he's a Zoomer. Because it's like wall to wall on ESPN right now.
Oh, really? I mean, they have to.
He made football.
Yes, yes.
And, like, they're sports journalists. Like, it's like, that's why they all want to be him. They're wearing his skin suit, so they have to, like, you know, they can't pretend it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you don't understand, like, before him, it was Jimmy the Greek doing the point spread.
Yeah,
like the Simpsons football episode with Lisa and Homer, they're betting on football. There's a point where they're watching ESPN, and it's just these. And it's the reputation of ESPN before Madden or football before Madden, even not just ESPN, was like these greasy guys in like kind of cheap suits, like you know these. They're like, oh, you got. I'm what is it? I'm like, this is the Whiz Kid. He's like 50% of the time he calls the game correctly. You know, it's like you know, and they.
Yeah,
and it was like it was a greasy, like disgusting game, of you know just for gamblers, and he made it into a real thing, and he's a very important guy. Like there's no without John Madden, there's no football. It's football is like hockey. Football was like hockey is now, where it's a regional. It was a regional Southern sport with some like with a pro league that was outside of its main region, and popular but not like crazy, and to where it is like this juggernaut of insanity. By the way, have you ever watched the Bear Bryant documentary on integration in
No.
It's hilarious because it takes the year is like 1973, which is really late. So I only have a full team's like all white, obviously. And then it's like so they do like it's they're doing a it, they're doing a fake this is such a tangent, they're doing a fake like not fake. It's a real like thing that happened, but they're doing like the integration documentary where it's like, oh, and there were parents who didn't like it, and this heroic people stood up and said whatever. Except when you read between the lines and tell what actually happened, it's like not all wrong. So it's 1971, and no one gives a fuck. They're all like love it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's an all white. Alabama is the best football team in the world. It's Bear Bryant. They're kicking everybody's ass. And it's an all white team. They played like UCLA in the Rose Bowl and got beat badly. And they're like, and Bear Bryant gave a speech out. He was like, hey, we're doing black people now. And that's like the thing when it's like Bear Bryant's like, yeah, well, they were like more football than they were racist. So
yeah. And it always have been.
Yeah. And that was there's not much. Also, it was 1971,
right?
Which is they just kept the team all white in defiance of everything. And then they decide,
we actually want to win football games.
These cornerbacks are, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Also, yeah. You talk about like white genocide. Are you telling me if you're not a race realist, how do you explain there's no white cornerbacks?
Right. Steve Saylor is. That's what I was about to say. Steve Saylor is huge on the cornerbacks. He's like, this is the most, basically, it's the most violent, aggressive position on the field on either side of the ball, And like you see white position, especially obviously quarterbacks, but also
linebackers,
tight ends, and even some running backs.
You get receivers now and again.
Yep. I mean, it's and Jimmy Graham types and, you know, like
a safety rarely, but a safety will happen. But a quarterback.
Cornerback exclusively black for like 20 years or something.
Yeah.
It's at the NFL, you have not had a white cornerback in, I believe, maybe even more than 20 years.
I think it's if you count starters only, it's like 25 years.
Yeah.
If you count backups, it's like 15, 16.
Yeah.
But
that's even more impressive, actually.
Yeah.
Like if you think about
it. Yeah, there's no backup.
There's not even any backups like for 15 plus years.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you.
There's
you,
systemic discrimination.
And the thing
as
is.
As a former white cornerback. You know what? Let's do it. I was just as talented. I was just as fast. I was just as agile.
But were you just as violent and aggressive?
I was moved to free safety.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I had more of a ball hawk instinct as opposed to like man-to-man.
Right? Yeah. There you go. Well, I mean, there's, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, the press F for John Madden.
Yeah, and I press F for the white cornerback.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Relics of the same era. And what
else? Yeah, so when John Madden was a coach, Alabama was an all-white football team.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Think about it. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, though, right? I've been thinking about this more myself, I mean, just while we're kind of riffing. There's something, I don't know how to describe it, but I've noticed it more and more where the effect of, like, because America was already dead in the 90s, but there were people alive who had been born when America still existed, and now we've completely lost that tether. And I feel like John Madden is a great example of this. It's like, I would even say, I mean, he's old enough at 85, he himself was born in an America that still existed. But I mean, he even people who grew up with John Madden at this point, like some of them would have been born potentially in a time. I mean, he's old enough again that like, but now, like as we move forward, it's all just fuck. I mean, I think I've talked about it on the Madden episode at that point. It just stuck out to me because I was watching like a football game and they said something about Latinx history.
I was
month.
Watching a football game to couple because we don't watch football games.
But that's how they pronounced it, Latinx.
So I have a better one. So one of the, I might have been CBS or if it was one of Fox. I was watching a network game, not like a local station or local or the radio. It was like they had the color guy and they had the play calling guy. And the color guy was a black guy, which is not unheard of in sports broadcasting, right? And the white guy was like the play by play. The black guy did not talk like a white sports broadcaster. He was like a jive talking nigga. And I was like...
On the national broadcast?
On the national broadcast.
Wow.
It was like he was just talking like, you know, talking like they do. And it was like, what the fuck? Like, it's just... It breaks you out of your your whole flow. It's like...
What is this?
What it's also like, it's clearly like a signaling thing. You couldn't find... like. Sports markets talk that way to reasons of like tradition and also be like comprehensibility.
Yeah.
Because it's like kind of hard because you can't see their mouths move.
You need to hear them. It looks weird when you see them with their mouths moving.
Yeah. Because they have very, you know, a certain kind of speech pattern that is very, very, very comprehensible, hyper comprehensible. It was wild. And it's just like another thing falls.
I mean, the English language itself and all kinds of... No, it's really been striking. Maybe it's just a function of my age or something, but I don't think so. I think...
the NFL has also toned down all this stuff. They've been like slowly toning down the insane, like the in-your-face stuff.
Yes, and they're doing more like end racism than like
Breonna
Harris or whatever the fuck her name was. You know, one of these drug dealers that got shot like violently resisting arrest or something.
It's like Cookie hair or some shit. I don't know.
They had Jacob Blake on there for a while. I remember.
Well, he lived, dude. That's such horseshit. paralyzed. He's just paralyzed.
Yeah,
and frankly, that was the best result for everybody involved.
Yeah,
because now he can't beat up women anymore. He can't stab cops. And he lived.
He was kidnapping his baby mama's kids. I mean, like, this is absolute trash, human trash. And
can you up so white guy when he violates a restraining order? He just gets shot.
Right.
You just get shot if you're a white guy. The cops will just shoot you in the head if you violate a restraining order while white. And, as a man,
yeah, and then they had him on the NFL helmets. Anyway, now yes, you're right. I haven't seen Jacob Blake. I've seen End Racism, which like okay, I mean no, but I guess that's I appreciate what you're doing with that more than with. Yeah.
You know what's funny is you never see signs like official signs or ads that say End Racism with the NFL. Why? Because it's so easy to just block out the end with like spray paint. It really is. It's very rare you'll see like it's always like that's why I think what e-racism came from as like that libtard meme
to like white out the e
because you can't we know because it's harder to like change a word into another word I guess
oh
you right. could take out the e
yeah just say racism.
But like it's just so easy to
racism
yeah
that would be a funny troll. I've never seen that or done that, but that would be hilarious.
And, I think we're kind of shifting gears away from it. But I wanted to bring up how important Madden was to video game again. We covered it in the game, obviously. But obviously there's been some more articles came out about like how much he actually contributed to the video game franchise. And not only so we talk about how he insisted on a level of realism and simulation, and he actually turned down the first iteration of Madden because it wasn't real enough. After that, he insisted to be 11 versus 11. It was a big thing. Because early on, like Tecmo Bowl,
Five, seven, somewhere like that.
Made sure it was 11 versus 11. He wanted it to be a way that you could learn the sport, which it is. You can learn the sport from the video game. He also slipped him a playbook. They're based off a John Madden coach playbook from his like back in the day, which is good because like it was a simpler game back then. Because there's like if you don't know if you've played Madden, but there's like the base Madden plays. You're engage eight, you're running back sweeps. The image for that play probably comes out of a stock, probably 1960s John Madden Raiders playbook, which is pretty.
That's cool.
Cool to think about, yeah. And then I had the other piece of real brief news, is that have you seen the new Doom mod?
Doom mod.
The NFT Doom mod.
No, oh my God, no. So, I don't know about this.
No, it's just a bit. It's a comedy in the grand tradition of comedy Doom mods. You are a human with a camera, and you are playing against a series of the demons are apes. They are bored apes from the Bored Ape NFT collection.
Oh my God.
And you are right clicking them or to kill them with your camera. And they are trying to, and they are uku and ah, and throwing bananas and shit at you. It's kind of like an angle there where they're like throwing bananas at you and shit and like making monkey sounds as they charge you.
So it's like a George Floyd
simulator? Yeah. Also, have you seen the George Floyd NFTs? The Floyds? Those are pretty good. Yeah. The best thing is you can't censor this stuff.
Right.
It's on the blockchain, bitch. What the fuck are you going to do about his George Floyd on the moon?
I remember there was
pixel art George Floyd on the moon. You can't delete it. Fuck you.
In the summer 2021 height of shitcoin mania, there was briefly a slave coin that used the Tyrone meme face as its... what's funny is like because these shit coins similarly are basically impossible to, they're just whatever, but somehow that got taken down by something. Like it was like I don't know, I think the hosted service took it. It was like evaporated from the internet.
Really?
Yeah. Or at least I don't know, maybe it was just, but I feel like that's the kind of thing that could have had some meme power and it just,
yeah, you know. I mean, I could, there's ways Dexes can take things off.
No, it wasn't about that. It was like literally the URL would. I don't know if they got
they just killed the website for the coin.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's easy. Yeah. You can do that. No, I mean, but I mean, like, let's try it on the blockchain if it's an ETH coin or a BSC.
That's what
coin.
I'm saying, but it wasn't. I don't even think that was a thing yet. It doesn't really matter.
Whatever.
It's all just I don't, because ENS is pretty recent, right? I mean, like very recent.
Yeah, but
whatever.
Yeah. They weren't using ENS. They probably just bought a website.
That's what I'm saying. And then Cloudflare or whoever is like, nope. And there you go. Yeah.
So do you want to change gears? Because
yes.
you consumed a product recently.
I did. I don't know if it's enough for a full-fleshed out episode or anything. And definitely I wouldn't want to talk about this shitty movie but for that long. But I did think there was some stuff about it that was noteworthy. And I don't think anyone else would bother sitting through this movie in our thing that's producing.
I certainly won't.
Right. So anyway, the film in question is a Netflix new release, which is there's all kinds of meta stuff too that's interesting there. It's called Don't Look Up, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Scarlett Johansson.
Looking her ugliest.
At her absolute no, it's not Scarlett. So it's not. It's Jennifer Lawrence. Sorry, still. I can't get these bitches. Whatever. Which one of these bitches?
I don't care which one. He's half Jewish. That Weinstein rapist. Exactly. Whatever.
It,
yeah.
It doesn't fucking. Yes. Sorry. It's Jennifer Lawrence, and who? That's the, anyway. It doesn't matter. And yeah, she's they even
notable Epstein defender and victim.
Was she a defender? I knew she was a victim.
Yeah, she shut the fuck up. She said, I like the guy, and then she shut the fuck up. She like did the right thing. Right, like, the right
hey,
thing.
Hey, well, I mean...
She did the...
She knows the game. I'm not going to hold that against her.
That's what Patrick Casey did, so I can't fucking talk shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I mean... but anyway...
I can't talk shit on both of them, actually. I will. And if I do.
I would... It's not about talking shit. It's just... It's I'm just saying, like... I don't know. With her specifically, it's like... She obviously... She's just, like, does a hysterical woman bit. And, like, used to look kind of pretty when she was, you know, a little younger. I don't know
well,
how...
They uglied her up. I watched the trailer. Yes. And you can get it. The trailer. If you watched
one... If you watch the trailer, you get the movie. There's only one or two little things. That's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they uglied her up.
They made her look like a goth chick, but like even grosser.
But not a goth chick. Like it's like
not a, like a hot goth chick. Like well, so there was a point.
They did like SJW goth.
It wasn't in the
it wasn't true.
Trailer, but there was a point in the movie where like she has two boyfriends over the course of the film, and like the first one is a journalist who's interviewing her, and she like well that's the whole thing is like he's like you're not even gonna give me a pronoun. Like implying because I'm just so aware of all this shit. It's like either she's ambiguous about her pronouns or she uses like she/they pronouns is the kind of vibe she gives off as a character and what they're going for in a movie. But that's all just a lot to explain. And the movie's about a comet that's going to hit the Earth. And it's just not about that. So they shoehorn a lot of that, some of that stuff in. It's that's where I wanted to go with this was the kind of the political dimensions of the movie, which were absolutely insane, and just it was like, the reason why I even brought it up, the reason why I'm curious
because we watched it when you do content.
Well, that too. That too.
If I watch a movie and it's like a new movie,
I might as well.
Y'all are gonna hear about it. Right? I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. I went in expecting it was Leonardo DiCaprio. He's big about climate change. Obviously, this is like a metaphor for climate change, and we all got to do something about climate change. We're all gonna die, and we should all and so I went in expecting it for it to be really really dumb. It was dumb. It was very dumb. It wasn't quite as dumb as I expected. Not that it was smart. It was aggressively, I don't know, well, we'll get into it in a second, but it was less that it was dumb or even that it was, and it wasn't even really preachy. It was just incoherent and like, I don't know, maybe dumb is the wrong word. It wasn't dumb in the sense of like, it was extremely dumb. It was dumber than I thought it
was
going to be,
but in a different way. In the way that Al Gore is dumb.
Yes.
He's a very high IQ man.
Yes.
Probably.
There were high IQ in people involved. Okay, so just to give you a taste, like, so I grew up, I love space. I love space exploration. I love, you know, everything about rockets and all that kind of stuff. Okay.
I shoot for the moon and I keep hitting London kind of guy.
Yes.
Yeah. The space travel through Nazi pipelines.
I never got that. Now it works
in reverse.
People would sometimes be like, oh, you know, all those early NASA guys were all like ex-Nazis. I'm like, and?
Yeah.
Like it never registered
well,
as a thing to care
about.
It's
funny how that pipeline got reversed, right? Because it used to be the Nazi to U.S. space enthusiast pipeline. Right. Now it's the U.S. space enthusiast and Nazi pipeline. And you're not the only one. I know others. There are others.
So there's a scene. Okay, so in Armageddon and in Armageddon, like the other touchstones for this are obviously Armageddon and Deep Impact. In Armageddon, there's like a plot reason why they have to send a manned crew, which like is ridiculous, but at least sort of makes sense, especially at that time of technology where drones weren't quite the thing they are now, which drones are a feature in the plot of this film. There's no reason for the mission to be a manned mission. They kind of had to invent one. Actually, even at the time, you would just use missiles, but there was like a plot reason why they couldn't use missiles, and so they had to send a manned team.
It made sense in a kind of like...
what it's a Michael Bay movie. It holds it...
It was believable enough.
Right. That doesn't, in and of itself, cause a suspension of disbelief problem.
They got to where you can spark a debate, right?
Yes.
I can debate if I want to that they did the right
thing. Right.
Whereas this seemed a little...
Well, so that's the thing. Okay, so... But even... in Armageddon, it wasn't a space shuttle. It was, as I recall, a purpose-built spacecraft. It was not a space shuttle, as I recall. It was like... And it was one of the... It was very closely related. There were, at the time... Because, again, I was all into all this. Like, anybody who actually loved space exploration, including at the time it was being designed, hated the space shuttle. Because the space shuttle is not a space exploration craft. It is... capable of low Earth orbit, and that's it. It doesn't like get you anywhere.
Humans can't go past low Earth orbit. I've seen some websites that are
I don't even want to get it clear. I'm going to pretend
there's a radiation belt that'll kill you if you go past low Earth orbit.
I'm just going to, I'm not going down this road. I'm just not going down that road.
Deep Impact was made on a Hollywood set.
Well, it certainly was. All that stuff, we never went to the moon, that's all a cope. That's a cope, and you need to get over, you need to stop coping and accept the situation as it is. And the reality is, look, we used to be able to go to the moon. Now we can't because you know why. And, you know.
Whitey on the moon.
Right. So, that was the other. Okay, don't even get me start. Okay, so put a pin in Whitey on the moon. So, even this fucking retarded 90s Michael Bay explosion fest. Understood, space shuttles do not go past low Earth orbit. If you want to go even to an asteroid that's going to be hitting Earth, you need something that's not like the space shuttle that you've seen, you know, Challenger or whatever. This film did not, the people in the writer's room just had no clue. They had absolutely no, like, there. It was like, I kept waiting for a moment where like, they're like, the first thing is, like I said, they discover the comet, and there's like, supposed to derive comedy from like nobody really. The president is more interested in the midterms than in this comet. Now, the president is played by Meryl Streep, who's a woman, and it's very explicitly like this is supposed. Basically, it's like a combination of George W. Bush and Donald Trump, but a woman who's like playing on that angle.
So, as someone who was very into politics in the era of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to do that.
Yes. This is Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin. So before Trump fried libtard brains, Sarah Palin did it worse.
Like, yeah.
Because she took kind of was attempt to steal the thunder of the first, person of crime president. We're the first women president. We're going to like slip one past you. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. But that pit, like.
That really made
them. There's a whole generation of people. You can take the age differences in the writer's room, I think.
Yes. But here's the thing. There was on her desk. There was a shot in the movie on her desk of her hugging Bill Clinton, and it's like it's very clear. Like so, it's kind of quasi ambiguous to the point where even it was like there were some stuff about it was clear. Like so, her son, who's her chief of staff, is played by Jonah Hill. It's Netflix is flexing is one of the things they're doing here. Is they're like, yeah, we could put a movie with like Jonah Hill and Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence and Meryl Streep and Kate Blanchett is in it and like. It's
So is the guy from The Wire. I never watched
The Wire, so
was one of the Wire actors.
I'm gonna have to. I know we have to watch it for this show.
He's the guy, African looking black guy with the beard.
Yeah, they got a bunch. They got like two big black actors.
But he's like the one that looks like
Ethiopoid or whatever. Yes.
Yeah. He's like a really class. He's like a very prestigious. Like,
yeah. No. He acted well. He's a great actor. He gave a good performance. I can't fault the performances except for. Halfway Jennifer Lawrence, who is like less, it doesn't matter.
They made her ugly, so what's the point?
Exactly. Everything else is acted pretty well, and it's the script is like it's not it's so the thing was like, and I guess they had some director of Anchorman and some other stuff. But it was like a well known director and a well known cast, and it was so it wasn't. What I get the sense of is like they were trying to.
Have we said the name of the movie yet?
It was Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up.
Well, so at the end of the movie, it becomes like Don't Look Up is the chant. They got a bunch of white dudes in like primary, especially red, but all kinds of trucker hats chanting Don't Look Up, which is like tonally. There's a whole. So it's a tonal mishmash because. at the beginning of the film, it's like it's clear you're not supposed to be able to tell. A lot of the critiques they're making are critiques that could be like she is just this kind of out of touch politician, cares only about herself, has a photo of herself hugging Bill Clinton. So at most she's like uniparty, if not just like a Democrat kind of. I mean, why would a Republican be hugging Bill Clinton? Yeah.
So in disaster movies, it's very normal to have a the president character, right, which she's doing, but you can't do that anymore because of polarization.
Exactly.
So in the 2000s, you could do, or 90s, you could do, this character is the president.
Right.
Now you can't you be can't the president.
Right.
Because, A, the office has no more fucking prestige.
Nobody, yeah.
It's a fucking joke and everyone knows it.
Well, and that was one of the kind of subplots is she has a Supreme Court nominee who likes to wear cowboy hats indoors, who also was some kind of softcore porn star and would go do nude modeling and get erect, and they would while they were like drawing him, and she sent herself like vagina pictures from the Oval Office to this guy. Now this is all kind of like I'm blowing it out in way more deep. Like they're kind of just like, oh yeah, she sent like sexts. They use a little bit more circumspect language. I think it's kind of a PG-13 kind of movie. But that's what she, that's like, there's this whole thing about like,
but who is that character who's supposed to be?
Well, that's what I'm getting at is it's like the conception of the, okay. So she's, well, okay. So at the beginning of the film, it's like, she's generic politician who puts her immediate electoral interest over literally the fate of the planet.
Ah, yes. The 90s. I've seen this character.
Right. By the end of the movie, or at the end of the movie, it's like she's doing 2006 era, not even, no, 2003-04 era George W. Bush triumphalism, like a battleship all lit up in red, white, and blue lights with fireworks, saying, you know, we can do this on our own. You know, the kind of like the analogy, I guess, gets more ham-fisted as the,
well, because they're also doing the Trump bit.
Yes,
in the midway,
exactly.
Midway through. So
yes,
it's like,
that's the thing. Is like, I think there's a certain kind of liberal who doesn't. I think younger liberals, and even maybe millennials who don't like. Well, yeah, and so
he's the Iraq War guy and nothing else,
So they didn't live through like Mission Accomplished, you know, fighter jet theatrics. Like they don't have any clue. It just doesn't register for them. That whole kind of like, you know, jet fighters over your evangelical church kind of vibe, like, which was a real thing that really happened, you know, like that's just not, they just have no, it's just no reference point for them. So it was like this really weird out of place critique of like 2000s.
You
remind
me
of Bush
stuff. Awoken a memory from 2008. I was pretty young at the time too. And I remember one of the presidential debates, the town hall style debate, between Obama and McCain. Like, there was a presidential debate in a fucking mega church hosted by the pastor.
Right, right.
And that was not considered like a
Why would that be weird?
And it was weird because they had, like...
Well, mega churches are weird, but that...
No, but that had never happened before.
Oh, really? I would have assumed... I guess not. I mean, why not?
No, because you do them TV only. They were trying... Well, they just introduced, like, town hall debates, which were supposed to, like, be, like, less hostile debate format. And, like... No one actually wanted to put one at town hall, I think, until recently. They started doing that recently, but like, they were like, okay, guys, it was like a chatty format, trying to get them to be friends. But it was like hosted by a fucking
megachurch
guy.
Yeah, well, in religion, so I can just mention this here while we're on the topic. The main characters, I guess, are Leonardo DiCaprio and what's her face, Jennifer Lawrence. Lawrence has two boyfriends, as I mentioned. The second one is an evangelical Christian played by Timothée Chalamet of Dune. who's like...
So you know, this movie was made like 2 months ago.
Right.
And Dune was made like 3 years ago. So,
right.
Yeah.
And he plays like a kind of skater punk evangelical Christian who leads the group in prayer as the earth is being wiped out by this comet. And spoiler alert, the comet hits and everyone's killed except for the president and a couple people in a spaceship that they use to get away. She offers Leonardo DiCaprio a spot for him and one other person, either his wife or his she's a PhD student, is Jennifer Lawrence. And he's like, nah, I'm good, and stays behind.
Also, does it kill all the world or all of America?
The world.
Oh, okay.
It's the whole world. Okay. It's global extinction.
Awesome. Okay, that's better. I would prefer America, but...
You know. I know, but...
Actually, it's a better metaphor for just America, but...
Well, the interesting thing was like, okay, so one of the main things that I got from the ending, which is like the last shot is basically you see a couple kind of culturally meaningful things. You see a they have a bunch of stuff that's like, it's like mug instead of Zoom, you know, or different shit. They have, I forget what it was called, but it was like, it's Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, basically, and some other totem that other character, like Jonah Hill's character, some meaningless bullshit that he cared about or something. And then the last shot is the spaceship with 2,000 people on it going into cryosleep looking for a nearby habitable planet, which is like, okay, that's not a plan. Like, you need someone to, like, that's...
Also, like, just in terms of my autism, after you just do it for 5 years and you land back on Earth.
Exactly.
You fucking retard.
You fucking retard. Well, again, I never finished the thing about the space shuttle. So, the first plan was to basically just nuke the fucking thing out of orbit, so that, you know, change the trajectory, and it's a bear. That's the actual plan, and they do have a kind of like, they make a point of pointing out that the planetary defense thing is a real thing under NASA, which is true, and so there's a little bit of NASA, you know. Clearly, this was like funded in part by some kind of arm of the federal government that's trying to promote NASA, presumably for their climate science mission, which is retarded. I mean, I'll get into that in a second. But like, here's the thing, guys. Like, so the implicit one of the implicit lessons is like, all these rich people, politicians, important people, like, even assuming they're, you know, cryosleep looking for a habitable planet thing is not ridiculous. It's very much like the idea you're left with is, they're leaving us behind. Like, don't trust them doing, like, you know, don't trust, like, Elon Musk and this whole Mars colonization thing. That's just a way for them to, like, leave you behind on a dying planet. Which
that is my plan, by the way. We're going to do white flight into Mars.
I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah, like, but white flight to Mars is going to be dope.
Here's the thing, though, is, like, the people, like, okay, so first of all, you don't get a climate science mission without satellites. Which is to say, without rockets.
Without Elon Musk himself.
Which is like, yeah. Right. And the people who, like, if you're critiquing, like, the development of, you know, interstellar travel or interplanetary travel, you know, manned spaceflight outside of Earth's gravity well, like, the people, I know people, I don't want to say who, on good authority, there were plans, like, into the 2010s for manned Mars. It was a thing.
Orion,
that was
in, right?
Like, there were a bunch of things.
Got very far in dev terms.
There was a lot going on behind the scenes. It wasn't ready yet. The person was upset because some things had been sort of used for political purposes. Like, yeah, we're going to go do this. When, like,
Trump said some shit he shouldn't have said. Yeah.
Right. But the point is, like, that all that was very much there. And now it's become this political, it's basically, you know, Whitey on the moon. Now it's like Whitey on Mars. But, like, you know, the people who, if you're making this thing about, like, oh, we shouldn't fund space travel, that was the justification for shutting, like that's why NASA doesn't have a budget. That's why the space shuttle existed in the form that it does, which is incapable of interplanetary travel.
Well, the other thing is that, like, if you're going to do this bit where, like, the people who actually are in charge of your site are evil and retarded, right? Why the fuck should I trust you with the climate shit? You're a bunch of evil retards.
Yeah, and like, that's kind of like, okay, so the first kind of like, it's interesting, like it seems like a product of you talk about a writer's room. I don't know if it's an interest. I'm you can kind of deconstruct sort of, because the first half,
look for the voices in the thing. Yeah, there's a Zoomer shitlib voice.
Yes,
there's a George Bush era, you know, probably guy, Jewish guy in his mid-40s who, you know, like, voice, and
Whole Foods liberal voice.
And there's,
yes,
like, an ADL voice. And then there's the Jewish, like, there's a Jignat voice with the Kushner thing.
Oh, wait, okay. Before, I got to get to finish the space shuttle thing, and then I'm going to mention, this was the part where it really went off. That's, like, that was the pivot point, and it's really telling. But first, on the space shuttle thing, yeah, they have the on the first mission accompanying, it's all just a bunch of rockets that are going into, like, way outside orbit to, like, nuke this asteroid. They're sending along a lone, like, a Marine, like, an old-timey white dude Marine in a space shuttle by himself on this mission, like, without any kind of further commentary or explanation. They have a kind of lampshade on it. Like, why are you sending a man along with the mission? They're like, well, every mission needs a hero. I'm like, A, that doesn't even make sense. But B, like, you haven't answered questions like 2 through 400. Like, do you understand? You know anything about space shuttles or space travel or like any of this stuff? Like, maybe I shouldn't get so worked up, but I was like, it was just the people that was, I was like, the people who made this movie are fucking retards. They don't know anything about what they're talking about.
Yeah. And well, also they can do a lampshade over it by like, it's a comedy to a degree.
Well, there was a satirical comedy bent, but that's the thing is like, but it's not funny and it's not clear like what they're even satirizing. So the pivot point in the movie, which is actually like, the whole thing was so tone deaf and it was just weird. So Leonardo DiCaprio, who's like the lead scientist, is his grad student who discovered it gets named after her, but he's...
Wow, the girl, the grad student, she does the work? Wow. Wild. Sorry. That's crazy. That's really empowering.
Actually. And then there's this whole thing about empowering. like she has a hysterical meltdown on a daytime TV show.
That's in the trailer, yeah.
Right. And so then they're like, well, we're going to work with her. We're going to work with you, Leonardo DiCaprio, who becomes like the face of it. And so his like website or whatever, he has some kind of, it's not clear and it wasn't introduced and it wasn't developed. It's again, the editor's writing room stuff, kind of like, okay. But he referenced, he's having like a thing with his wife where he wants to argue with strangers on the internet online and she wants to go for a walk. And he says to her, like, this guy is crazy. He says it's Jewish billionaires who want to take our liberty and our guns are making this comment. But those are literal direct quotes from the movie, is quote, Jewish billionaire, unquote, quote, our liberty and our guns, unquote. Now, that was sort of the moment where I was like, I wouldn't say that I liked it. I wouldn't say that I hated it. I was expecting it to be bad. It was a little more subtle than I had initially. I was like, this was like a best case upside up to that point. Now I'm like, okay, not only has my suspension of disbelief been crushed, because no one who's talking about Jewish billionaires is talking about our liberty and they're going to take our liberty and our guns. Like, these are like, you just don't understand anything.
Well, that's like that's why they made the Proud Boys into this thing. Cause they're like a group that doesn't really, that there's no one guy in the Proud Boys that says that, but you can find a guy in the Proud Boys saying that thing and the other thing.
Yeah.
That's why they do the Proud Boy bit as a thing. Well, speaking of Jewish billionaires, I had a take after watching the trailer.
Okay.
So there's Jonah Hill plays Kushner effectively.
Yes.
He's
Jared Kushner.
Retarded relative
Jew. I mean, also, I mean, and, like, not, yeah. I don't think he's in the, but you know, exactly. Jonah himself is
Jonah Hill is completely Jew.
Yeah.
But this like shystery, like,
yes,
kikey puppet master thing is now a Hollywood trope. And as funny as you play it, these nepotistic little fucking worms at the top of like the American presidencies.
He's played for a complete piece of, you're supposed to laugh at him for being a complete piece of shit. And like his big kind of character moment is near the end of the movie where it's like, okay, so the first plan fails because the totally not Jewish billionaire, who's like a combination of Steve Jobs and Jeff Bezos, and Elon Musk, like, calls the president, and the president couldn't make time for this. There was this whole kind of extended, you know, black comedy, you know, kind of like The Thick of It or In the Loop type comedy of, like, you know, they have this really important thing they need to tell the president. The president just blows them off, and the military generals are complete assholes to them, and basically everyone's just treating them like absolute dirt. And then, like, after that's all been set up and you spent, you know, 20 minutes dragging through that whole sequence, then, like...
That's what the trailer is, kind of.
Yes. Yeah. The scene... Like, then, like, you get a scene of an introduction of this totally not Jewish billionaire it didn't make any sense. I was trying to be like, what? I don't even really know what you're going for. It's life without living. We make cell phones that, like, jack into your brain that, like, anytime you're angry or happy or excited or, you know, bored, it, like, fixes that with, like, neurochemicals or something. It was just completely undeveloped, came out of nowhere, never really explained, because his big thing is he calls the president, like, you got to shut this thing down. And so they cancel that mission. He's like, we have a better mission, which is we're going to send these Amazon drones to, it's called Bash, but it's Amazon. Or in that capacity, it's Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and the three goyish billionaires, right? Steve Jobs. And
Bill Gates.
Right, right, exactly.
Charles Schwab.
Not, no, 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 no. And that was the whole thing was like,
wait,
I was like,
Schwab's German.
Is he?
Yeah, that's why he's
no.
The, dude, that's the point why they're making the face all this shit, because he's like a German guy who's like, we need to save the economy. Like he, because he's he looks like a fucking
yeah,
like a stereotype of a like a Nazi stereotype of a Nazi okay. billionaire. Like
yeah,
that's why you know, Charles Schwab, Klaus Schwab. Sorry, not Charles.
Oh, Klaus Schwab. That Klaus Schwab. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the, well, that's because Charles Schwab is the fine. That was yes, what I was going to yes, say. Sorry, was like sorry, Klaus Schwab, there was no finance capital was nowhere in this movie. rare earth mining was the whole thing. That was like
that's
like,
a Elon Musk joint.
Yeah. It was space billionaire. It was Amazon billionaire. It was iPhone billionaire. Like finance billionaire. What's a finance billionaire? I never heard of that. What? Yeah. It was wild. And yeah. So his plan is like, okay, well, China. They even mentioned specifically China is sitting on these rare earth minerals, and we can't get access to them. So, but there's all these rare earth minerals on this asteroid. So we're going to go send our drones, blow it up. It's going to crash like in smaller pieces, and we're going to collect all the stuff, and everybody's going to be rich. And that's where the movie really goes off the rails. There's like this is a point where Jennifer Lawrence returns to her parents' home, and her mom is like, no politics. She's like, what? She's like, your dad is in favor of the jobs that are going to be created by the comet.
No, the comet. Yeah, the rare earth planet.
And that's where you get like basically they're like so basically so the Americans are going it on their own with this plan to blow into smaller chunks that'll land and then collect the minerals. The Russians and the EU try to blow it up, but their mission fails. And then the last thing, and this was really where I was like, I just have it was one of these things where just the I don't know how to like, well, I'll just say it. So they kept talking about peer review. Like the big contrast was,
well, if I was it in like the religious sense or like in the real sense?
In the religious sense. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
And like so one of the things that had me like, clearly they had an advisor from someone inside the academy at least, was not only did they get sort of the politics,
you're shilling your role in the film. You're obviously a part of this. Why would you watch this shit?
Hey man, I watched out of grad school, man. I failed out. That's yeah, not yeah. because I couldn't deal with this kind of bullshit. Is that's what I'm saying? Like they understood the politics of like this is the relationship between the advisor and the student, and the kind of relationship internally in terms of degrees of prestige. Where like, so the whole part of the subplot is it's a Michigan State team, and so when they initially start running, they're like, well, why didn't like Harvard or Caltech or somebody tell us this? Now the internal kind of like astronomical society is immediately like, well, his math checks out, so we're gonna forward this to Caltech. They mentioned Caltech, Cambridge, and IAU. So like the most prestigious Anglophone universities would be handled like at the kind of technical level. Then they get this scheduled meeting with the president. The president blows them off in part to confirm things with the more prestigious universities, which is actually, I would argue, like that's actually a good thing. Like the movie kind of this is one of the things that made me feel like, there was some amount of subtlety going on, because like, yeah, it's played as a satire, as though like, oh, the world is ending and this, you're just concerned about your midterms. It's like, well, yeah, but also I don't know you. You come from some, you know, as far as I know, Podunk University. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I want to confirm with the people that I actually trust, that I know and I trust, which is fine. It's a totally legitimate approach. And as soon as that checks out, they're immediately called back in and they're like, okay, we believe you. Now what? And then the kind of act two begins. But the whole contrast is like, they're talking about like, okay, well, this plan is peer reviewed. So they go into kind of the mechanics of like, in a real way of like, you know, sort of ironically, or maybe not, the informal actual peer review network of like, well, this person, I'm a PhD in astronomy, you know, chair of the department at Princeton. Like, maybe I didn't make this discovery. Maybe the person who made the discovery is a better astronomer than I am, but I am in a position to be able to evaluate his work, particularly when the stakes are very high, right? And everybody kind of gets that. And for now, that's still true. And that's reflected in the movie.
Give it like 15 years.
I agree, but I'm just saying. Yeah. So, like, that's what peer review is kind of how it, like, what it's supposed to mean. What it means these days in practice, as you call it the religious sense, is, like, you submit a journal article to a journal, and it gets read or not by a handful of, you know, quote-unquote peer reviewers who are designated for the task. Like, there's a whole process there and a lot that could be said about it, most of which boils down to it's very, very broken, produces a lot of bad science. Just because something appears in a, quote, peer-reviewed study doesn't really mean much of anything, especially not these days.
Well, we can bring it down to somebody who's more grug like me is, if I was a peer reviewer for a journal and I was a real fucking dick and I just sharp shot everybody from every angle possible, I'd lose my fucking job.
Yes. If it was universally equally applied, you would not...
If I was trying to spike articles as a peer reviewer,
especially in these in
on Reddit,
areas, right.
You'll be pitched like people are trying to disprove scientists all the time.
And it's a known problem. There's actually, I mean, I don't know how much you know about this or how much is worth getting into, but there's a proposal that's gaining some amount of traction, but it's bad for funding and bad for the grift, which is why it's not, you know, going, it's not really going places yet, pre-register your articles. In other words, saying like, look, we're going to do this study with these parameters, we get these results, like everything else about it is in place, so we're going to know, like, because one of the easiest things to do is to manipulate, you ask one research question, you get a bunch of data, you ask a different research question of that data after already having received the data. That's not science, but it happens a lot. Also, you know, p-hacking is a famous thing where you just, all you're looking for is that statistical, quote-unquote statistical evidence of, you know, like a p less than 0.05, which is to say a less than a 5% chance ostensibly. If all of your assumptions and all of your math, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are right, that there's a less than 5% chance that it wasn't caused by the factor you're looking at, supposedly. And there's all kinds of ways that all of this stuff can be gamed, and it's all a big... It's just a big joke. And it's not to say that they're, you know, that things don't happen, but it's in spite of the so-called peer review process, not because of it. And that was the whole, like, the contrast they were trying to say is like, well, the plan that we came up with to nuke the comet was peer reviewed. Jeff Bezos' plan is not. And like, it has these Nobel Prize, they have Nobel Prize winning, get this, it has Nobel Prize winning scientists whose work wasn't peer reviewed.
That's not, to me, whatever.
And then
is that a jab at fucking like McDonald's or something like that?
I have no idea.
Because what happens if they have McDonald's work is what peer review is in the normie's brain what it is, right? Where Ken McDonald writes all these books and these guys write all these counter articles attacking him.
Right.
And you can read both and decide who you think is right. That's what normies think peer review is. It's just like a up down, effectively it's a thumbs up, thumbs down, right? Like,
yeah.
You've passed peer review.
No, when in reality, it, even in principle, peer review is supposed to be like a threshold, a floor, not like this is real.
It's supposed to be like a challenge. Like,
it's yeah, a, I mean, it's, yeah. yeah
it, the way it's explained to you when you're in high school is that people will challenge your work and try to disprove it.
Which is just never happens.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's a lot of work, especially it's a lot depending of work, on the kind of work.
That's a lot of work to disprove something, generally. I mean... Often it's not because of the system, but like in theory,
right?
If I run an experiment and you can't run an experiment,
well, and that's why they have this with the replication crisis. I mean, again, it's like the words replication crisis never like, you know, Jewish, there's no non-Jewish, I don't even know. There's like people talking about Jewish billionaires, but there are none because all the billionaires are this guy, you know, like the Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, and Peter Bezos are the only billionaires that have ever existed. And replicability crisis, which is, you know, when people would try, there was a whole big thing, especially the worst offender was social psychology, but there was a pretty much no corner wasn't affected of like statistical, you know, quantitative science, where
the only sociological work that ever was ever good was Bowling Alone, because the people, right. And you know what, the reason that is because peer review, they people were trying to destroy it.
Yeah. And they couldn't.
And they couldn't.
Right.
So they win. Like that's, that's what peer review is.
Same thing with, I would say the bell curve too. I mean, there's some stuff.
But like if something wasn't like attempted to be killed, it wasn't actually peer reviewed.
Right.
Like they're the only actual peer reviewed works in the whole field.
Yep. And because everything else just, and that's why none of these studies replicated. They, when the people, because
the whole bell curve often replicates
in constantly every day. The Telegram channel every day. The whole idea is with science. I mean, the scientific method is you come up with a hypothesis, you test it, and other people test it too, and they're like, "Oh, look, turns out this is right. Cool." And now you have a theory, etc. Nobody ever tries to replicate anyone else's results, and when they do, they fail disastrously, especially in sociology, social psychology, and this is well known. And the dirty little secret. This is actually coming. I was a Captain America. Not Captain America. Captain Planet fan. I used to like Captain Planet. I was into, you know, recycling and shit in the 90s, and that I always, you know, I'm still an environmentalist. I still think recycling is. I mean, it's kind of a. It depends. It's worth it for metals, you know, especially aluminum. Typically not for other stuff, but maybe some plastics, whatever. The thing that got me off, because I was always very, you know, scientifically minded, quantitatively minded. The thing that got me off the global warming train, and then started getting me looking more skeptical at all of this was learning that basically it's all just a bunch of computers, mathematical, statistical models. Like they have ice cores with claim to measure stuff, but even that essentially comes down to statistics and more to the point, all their statistical models have been wrong. You know, and it's one of these things where, like, I mean, I don't want to go too deep into the whole thing, but they were saying that, you know, Miami's going to be underwater since the 90s, you know, in by 2010 if we don't do anything, and you know, at a certain point it's like, well, where, and then you start looking into things like, you know, well, what's this precise mechanism, and you know, and don't get me wrong, I think ecological collapse is a possibility that's very much in the cards, but it's not because of, like, I don't even know what at this point what's the scenario, like runaway greenhouse effect, things get warmer, ... everybody die. I mean, it's just kind of silly if you start, you know, thinking, much like the Holocaust, the more you start digging in the details, the more you're like, this doesn't really add up. It was really noteworthy to me how they're making this whole big deal about peer review. Like, meanwhile, you actually do, you know, let me put it this way. It's not, quote, peer review that's at issue with the climate stuff. It's just, that's not even really, and that, like, I wouldn't say to their credit exactly, but it's sort of, you can see where the filmmakers were going with this, in that it starts becoming like a sort of general allegory. Like, it's not, yes, there's this whole thing about climate change and we're going to destroy the planet, but it's really like, It's totally a mess. As I was getting at the beginning, talking about the president, like, they're trying to say, like, oh, we just need to unite, we just need to come together, we need to heal these toxic divisions. But also, there's these white men in trucker hats telling you to don't look up. That's, you know, where the movie gets its title. And don't look up. They're like chanting in unison at the end of the film. These all white people in trucker hats who don't want to look up at the comet. They don't believe in it. They don't think it's coming.
It seems incoherent with the whole, like, we've got to mine this thing for minerals, but I thought that was...
Well, that, again, completely... Yeah, like, but that's... those are the neoconservatives.
They set up the right-wing position as, like...
Don't look up, but also, even if it comes, so what? Because it's going to create a bunch of jobs for us.
If it hits...
If it's even real, we're going to blow it up with Nobel Prize-winning technology that hasn't been peer-reviewed to put quantum fission bombs on it.
That's a dig at China, actually.
Is it?
So China does this thing where every generation of technology has a stupid word in their, like, 5-year plan stuff, and their last one was quantum, like quantum rocketry. They would just put quantum in front of any word.
Cool.
It's also a thing how their language works, I think. Sure. Where instead of saying, like, fifth gen industrial, they just say, like, quantum.
Sure.
But I think
that's
if you ever read, like, I don't know, this is really like real deep autism, like Chinese, like I ran across first in small arms development. And you see, like, you were quantum a lot. What the fuck is... Oh, it's because
it's a Chinese
thing. It's like a definitional...
Quantum arms.
It just means like, in this, like, this, like...
Can I get a pulse rifle from quantum arms?
No, it's like a 5-year... Like a, you know, it's like in this 5-year term, we're developing things in this 5-year term.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
This is the quantum.
No, I get it.
It's a nano. It's just like...
Sure.
It's just a marketing term. But I think, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's like the neoconservative, the Trumpers and the Q-tards don't think the comet is real. The conservatives want to mine it.
And the MAGA guys think it's not real?
The MAGA/Q people don't think it's real. In a weird way, I wonder how it had to have been at least edited, if not partially filmed, I would have to, during Corona stuff. There's all the part of it that floored me the most, that really, like, so there was a, it seemed like at least implicitly they were going for some Corona-ish stuff. And there was a point in the film, I can't remember exactly the context, but it was basically, oh, right. So it was really, really weird. It was really weird. And it came across, I'll just describe it. So the president is hurt. At this point, she's gone from like kind of generic 90s politician to like Sarah Palin / Donald Trump / George W. Bush. And she's like, well, look, people are have all, you know, we abandoned this first plan because we want to mine the asteroid. But now people are starting to get scared. So everybody's really, really scared. And she like addresses the camera and there's like an infomercial thing. And there's a camera like infomercial thing. And it's like, how to say, if you're worried, if you're scared, if you're concerned, call this number. And then it, like, the screen goes to like purplish blue or whatever and gives you like the 800 number to call to talk to someone if you're like confused or scared about the comet. Now, I don't really watch much TV, but you know, sometimes if it's like I see some TV somewhere, I have seen a recurring theme of like that kind of thing for COVID, for vaccination specifically. Like,
I have. I guess I don't watch. I mean, I've literally watched
sports. There's TV advertisements, little spots, like, you know, like it'll talk.
Will you watch Democracy Now, you fucking nerd?
It's like a nurse saying like, oh, well, the vaccines are safe. But I understand.
Is that like mainstream channel?
This is like network. I don't believe I'm telling you. This is like network TV. Like big network TV.
The fuck?
The advertisements are targeted at local. I've seen them in actually different localities. So
they're
they're the same thing, which is like some nurse or some doctor or whoever is like talking, or some survivor, quote unquote, of COVID.
Oh, it's me.
Right.
I'm a COVID survivor. Yeah.
And they're like, I'm really great. Either like, I'm really grateful I got the vaccine because my, you know, disease wasn't that bad. Or, you know, I've seen people come in sick who were unvaccinated and they, you know, they nearly died or they died. You know, please get your vaccination and then call this number. And it like shows you the number. That's a very, very common thing. It's like all over the place. It's getting federal money to push that, right? Like, it's actually a really smart point, or it would be. Like, it's actually a really smart point that, from a Corona skeptic perspective, it makes absolute, it works great as satire. Like, here you have this vapid idiot who's completely cynically leveraging power and the prestige of the government scientific apparatus to
but go ahead.
to like push her private agenda, and like extremely cynically is providing this government helpline for people who aren't convinced. I don't know who these lines are for. I don't know who's calling them. But what I mean, I see, you know, New York Times articles will sometimes reference him. I guess like the one guy, they're like, hey, we actually convinced this guy. So like, okay, we'll do a write-up in the New York Times. But regardless, like it's exactly the kind of thing you'd see for vaccination. But like the whole point is like, it's this weird, bizarre thing because like actually they're saying like, okay, the government's giving you this line to call, but they're all lying. And these people are like, and they're evil. And like, they're actually trying to, they're ignoring the danger. Like it's just like, okay, you could make that critique of like, that's what they're doing with the vaccinations. It seemed like it might've been intentional, but then like, okay, well then what are your politics in this film at that point? Like, I don't even like, who is that for? Like, it's, you think like it was such a weird, it was like a very like 2000s era liberal critique of like, yeah, the government's going to put out an 800 number to like allay your fears. You can call them and ask for their help, and they'll be like, yeah, let's explain this to you with science.
Okay, so from my writer's room take, when there's always some writers making this thing, this is also like the death of like liberal comedy.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
But in the not in the way of like, oh, it sucks now, which does, but no, it's in the way like, it's always been a thing that like references in comedy are kind of a fine line, because references aren't inherently funny.
Right.
But that's over now.
Yeah.
References were like declared funny by the science. And I don't like they're, I think they might be just doing a reference to the COVID stuff, and it's funny because it's a reference. That's it. There's no greater commentary
maybe.
Here.
That's that. But it's just insane. Like, how are you so oblivious? It's like you're making this movie about government official. Like, the whole point is like it works in reverse. Like, you could even say.
So I have a critique for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like it. So it's about like they're satirizing every other Republican president ever, effectively, right?
Yeah. Or because that '90s stereotype is Reagan, right?
Yeah.
Like that's where that like the president of the '90s is basically a Reagan, right?
Well, yeah. But this is the thing. You could easily, in fact, you wouldn't really need to change a thing where you make this President Obama. It's extremely believable. Extremely believable that Obama would be like, huh, well, I guess we'll hope and change it and not do shit. Which is, I'm doing the fake, like, Bush Obama impersonation, but like.
Yeah. No, totally. It's
like there. You could do the oblivious Obama.
Well, there's a lot of routine. There's a lot of uniparty stuff. It's a lot of like sort of this is a uniparty, which is like a total like danger. Like don't like. I mean, you know what I mean? Like yes, I agree. You know.
Yeah, it's like president hugging Bill Clinton with son Kushner. It's like
yeah,
motherfucker. Yeah,
don't you get it yet? Like, you know, but it's totally crazy to be concerned about Jewish billionaires. Like. Okay, but it's like, but it's still billionaires that are a problem. Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
you know.
Like, so is like Larry Silverstein on the
right? No,
plane?
Exactly.
Is he in cryosleep with you guys, or
no? It's like Wall Street. That was the thing. It was hilarious. There were so many admissions against interest, and sort of weird moments of like, and not the ones that are that are product of the like in.
From my understanding of it, it's as if like you had in theory, let's say the Soviet Union survives, and they're writing a satire of the American government.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah, like, it's, well, except there's a bunch, but there is like, I mean, with a bunch of, the whole thing is a climate metaphor.
But still, like in terms of like how they comprehend, it's like an outsider almost, like trying to do the entire U.S. system. You know, like it's weird to think this is written by like Americans. That makes sense. Like,
no, it's felt like it was written by like a maybe 50-year-old liberal who like cut his teeth in the surge days of, you know, making fun of Rumsfeld, known unknowns.
If Greenwald cucked.
Yeah.
If like Greenwald went soft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which a lot of them did. Greenwald's like the exception. Although, actually.
He's very much the exception.
And then there's like a couple millennials in the room, women in the room with him.
Right. Yeah. But that's the kind of vibe I get, which is like I'm trying to be, and then you get some pronoun stuff. It's like they're trying to be trendy and in touch, but they're really just the whole vibe is off, and it's off in a way that like by pursuing these lines of
another take.
One second, it's just Occupy Wall Street never. It's like this. It's like Occupy Wall Street never happened. That whole side of things never happened, and so like if you're pursuing an Occupy Wall Street type talking point agenda now, you just sound like an alt-righter. Sorry, go on.
They're doing inverse West Wing.
Okay.
It's opposite day West Wing.
Yeah, kind of. That's one of the things.
West Wing, but everything's the other way, right?
Well, that's in the loop, right? I mean, that's...
I've actually never seen in the loop,
It's pretty good. I think you'd like it.
But, yeah. It's basically how... It's right West Wing episode.
Yes,
but like, about an asteroid, but right. Everything happens the other way.
And it's a Republican in charge. Who's hugging?
No, it was vaguely uniparty. Like, well, instead of being a vaguely uniparty Democrat, it's a vaguely uniparty Republican.
Yeah,
it's a.
But they had this. On that note, and that's maybe the note to end on. So there's like I don't know some kind of convention renominating speech or some kind of just big rally or something that Meryl Streep, the president, is giving, and Jonah Hill / Jared Kushner is also giving a speech. And then as he starts giving us like in his speech, he's talking about like, what did he say? There's us who are here and then you, the working class, and we together are against them. And they cut to Meryl Streep. She's like, huh? And yeah, I was going like, what? and Jonah Hill goes on. He's like, you know, he explains the that's actually true at a certain level. Like that's
about
the Trump thing at a certain level.
And those like,
but then he's like, but then he goes like, yeah, you know, the working class, the manicurists and the interior designers and like he gave basically a bunch of like bougie fake jobs.
Yeah.
Or not even not fake, but like people who are
service
not,
jobs,
service industry jobs that are not
rich people use.
Yes. But not like, you know, construction worker or something. And it was just bizarre tonal thing of like, he's not supposed to admit. Well, it's like, okay, but so are you making fun of this character for not knowing what the actual working class is or for the fact that the actual working class supports Republicans? Or because these things like can't go like.
Oh, well, also just the idea of like, Kushner character giving a speech is so
right,
like that's not the point of the character.
He prays at the end, so there's a prayer. His big character moment. I don't know that I mentioned. I set it up and then I yet again failed to deliver, and I'm delivering now. Is his big character moment is there's like he's leading the nation in prayer, and he prays that the comet, the disaster is averted because there's a lot of really nice stuff like cool watches and cars and stuff, and it would be sad if all those things went away forever. And it's just such an. I mean. Like, as a characterization of Jared Kushner, I kind of believe it, but, like...
I mean, I don't, because he'd be like, there'd be a lot of Israel talk in that speech. He'd be like,
right.
Go, if you could destroy every country except for Israel. Yeah,
right. Right. Regardless... No, they need slave labor, though. I mean, they can't like, plant those fields themselves.
They've already got people in Israel, kind of a slave class.
So yeah, that was his big character moment, and
Iron Dome the asteroid.
That was the initial plan, and she rejected it because Bezos told her not to.
When I think of people who can call up the president and get something done, in terms of national defense,
yeah, I think
my first thought is Jeffrey Bezos
or Elon Musk,
a real national defense kind of guy. Yeah. You know, of all the billionaires that influence the government, when I think. National defense influencing billionaires.
Yeah.
I think.
And the whole thing about like Bezos, like, so the whole thing about the emotion regulation via cell phone, like, that never appears again. The whole thing is like, we need these minerals to build cell phones. It has nothing to do with
that's
like.
A quick metaverse bit, is it? Or
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what they're. I'm saying it's just kind of one of these things that just goes nowhere. And
so don't watch this movie.
No, definitely not.
Watch the trailer, though. It's kind of.
The trailer is, like, will give you a sense, and maybe you can see, like, this is the shit that they're trying to push now. And I'm mainly commenting on it because I actually. Ultimately, I took it with apologies to McNabb as a white pill. Like, they don't understand us. They don't understand what's happening. They're completely out of touch. They're unable. We've known for a while they're not capable of producing, you know, good culture.
Yeah, they're basically forcing Meryl Streep to slum. Meryl Streep is being forced to slum it with. And so is DiCaprio. Really, like,
with
they're way bigger than this thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then Netflix is it's a flex by Netflix. But at the end of the day, it's like the politics of it are so insane and so incoherent. It just doesn't make any sense. It's, you know, who's representing the working class and why and you know all this kind of stuff and this whole nonsense about peer review. Like nobody who's actually smart. Not that anyone who's actually smart would watch this movie. I'm clearly dumb for doing so. But like, it's not going to impress anyone. It's not going to like strike anyone as who matters as being clever or interesting or funny. And that's good. That means, you know, that just yet more evidence that, like, you know, they can't even put this thing together. Like, if honestly, that's where I guess I was trying to say, like, is it dumb or not at the beginning of the thing?
So it's not even a movie for West Wing viewers. So it's dumb.
Yes. But it would be smarter. If it were just a straight up preachy satire that didn't even pretend to be, it would be smarter if it was.
And Inconvenient
like,
Truth is better than every fucking Sorkin film ever made.
Yes,
Sorkin film ever made is terrible.
Inconvenient Truth is at least well made.
It is better than every Sorkin product or Sorkin adjacent product ever. You've seen Swing Vote?
No.
What a fucking shitty
movie.
Never
saw it.
It's one of that. Oh.
One of those kind of
Oh, got it. I tried to watch it in Iraq because I was doing Iraq politics movies. Holy shit! What a piece of shit movie. They're so bad. It's so bad.
Anyway, that's more than enough on this. Hope you enjoyed. Glad we were able to take care of that.
If the Jews could make all future movies and not the libs, I'd appreciate that.
With that, we'll leave you until next time. Take care, everybody.
I'm an MK Ultra victim. There's poison in my system. I'm an MK Ultra victim. There's poison in my system. Apathy. I'm a broken piece of what I used to be. I lost.